It's such a shame that you're sitting down.
Why?
Because you, I haven't seen a fatty like that in a while.
They say I did something bad. Why does it feel so good?
I can't quit with that one.
Yeah.
I keep saying I guess I did something bad. I'm not willing to admit to things.
Yes, that's your accountability issues.
Yeah, of course. I have a lot of issues, but accountability is definitely one of them.
The ways in which our Long Island lifestyle is manifesting, like my cup.
Your big, big cup. Joe has almost too many water bottles.
I'm having an issue.
And listen, I know. I hate to keep putting you on blast. I know that I could willingly buy myself a water bottle. I absolutely can. I said to Joe, all I want for my birthday this year is a water bottle. And I did it to just like plant the seed because I was like, oh, it's going to be something. He's going to hear that and he's going to say, let me get him a water bottle. He has a new water bottle in his hand every day.
Every day. And yet your gift, again, your gift is like still being workshopped.
He had to test it out.
It's just like, yeah, I want to get you the best possible water bottle. So I am just trying them all.
I love that.
You know what I mean?
I do.
And I think I'm learning a few things. I have a feeling you might really like that one over there.
I think I would too. I feel like I really like that color, but like, I'm not going to take that color from you.
It's like suckable. Like it's like a soft, it's like a nipple.
Shut up.
It's like a nipple.
I did fully show up to your house
with two slices of pizza and a broccoli roll.
And to Joe opening the door, and I really knew what I was getting myself into. Joe needed to work, he needed to edit, he needed to do things, and he was like, all right, bye. And so I just sat in his kitchen until his mom got home, doing a little bit of work. But yeah, you really have been lately. Yeah, I was chatty with Patty, and you lately have been like, get away from me. And I like that.
It's about boundaries. At a time when I'm seeing you 24/7, I have to remove myself. You know what I mean?
I completely know what you
mean. It's like nothing about you.
And thank you.
Of course.
That's all I needed to hear.
Yeah.
Good children.
Sometimes I think in my head,
yeah,
it's going to go better than it does.
I know. And then you realize that there are people are listening. You know what I mean? Like sometimes in headphones and you're like, oh what we just did to them was like psychological warfare. Yes.
Yeah. Hey guys, and welcome back to Good Children, the podcast where hosts Joe Hedges
and Andrew Muscarella
reflect on our 22 years of friendship.
Growing up in the early 2000s, late 2010s.
And all of the nostalgia,
trauma,
and jobs that come along with it. This is a job now.
I think I messed up. I said late 2000s, early 2000s, late 2010s.
I don't think you did. I thought you said late 2000s, early 2010s.
And this is the problem with me. Sometimes I doubt.
Growing up in the early 2000s, late 2010s.
If you did, it's okay. I don't think anyone noticed.
Okay.
It's still new to you. You're just getting used to it.
Yeah, I'm trying to get a hold of it.
You've never listened to the podcast before, so I know
podcast before. And this is kind of like, this is a really good transition of getting into jobs.
Right, exactly. This is a job.
This is a job. And the thing about me is sometimes I don't read the rules and regulations of a job.
What are we talking about?
Today we're talking about jobs. We're talking about everything leading up to where we are today, which we've taken some pivots. Are you worried about the sound?
I'm not worried about the sound. If you hear some Amazon trucks driving past, it adds to the mise-en-scene that we're on Long Island. Yeah. I feel like you're not hearing a siren. I think it's completely fine.
Okay. Yeah, but we have taken a few leaps, bounds, twists, and turns along the way of our job journey.
I think we're still low-key on that journey, but I'm glad that we've had a few experiences now where we've been on those jobs together.
Thank God.
Like, when was your... We've talked... You were a freeloader, right? For a long time?
I was a freeloader. I was. And I'm the first one to admit to it. I wish
I had more time in my life to go back and, like, roll the clip where you were like, why are you going to call me a freeloader? Like, just so I didn't work. I worked. And now you just happily admit it.
No, I worked in high school. You know what I mean?
Going into senior year.
Yeah. Okay. I feel like that was like kind of normal. I was like employed by my parents. I was like cleaning a basement.
Oh, you did chores?
Yeah.
The worldview is incredible. You were employed by your parents. You were doing chores.
Like that would have been expected of me.
Since I was 13 on the streets.
On the streets.
I was a CIT at 13.
A counselor in training?
Yeah, which I know I've said it before, but the fact that they put a 13-year-old in charge of 11-year-olds is literally, like, such a huge indictment on not only the youth council that organized the summer camps, but also on the parents that sent their kids to that camp.
What was going through your head?
Well, I was really afraid because it was 11-year-old boys. So I was like, they're like basically my age. Like, I'm afraid of them. I'm gay. I'm fat. Mm-hmm. Like, if they find out that I'm 13, thankfully I didn't look 13. I looked like maybe 14.
Yeah, I was going to say, what do you mean? You didn't have an old face.
Thankfully, like, I think they respected me. But I was terrified. I mean, yeah. I think I avoided all sports, all, like, male friendships because I did not want to be around men. Like, I did not want to. So, like, to be thrust into being in charge of boys close to my age.
And you having to, like, tell them to play the sports. Yes. And, like, be like, okay, guys, we're playing kickball today. Playing kickball today. This is how you guys know how to play it.
Kickball. I know how to play it. I definitely do.
Don't make me kick the ball, though.
I do think kickball, out of every sport, like, is the one I throve in the most. Like,
yeah.
That and dodgeball.
Yeah. It all comes back to a big ball.
It's the same ball.
It's the same
ball.
You love that red ball.
Because it can't hurt.
Ball.
It can't hurt.
And no. That's what you think it can't. Until the embarrassment kicks in, because when you get smacked in the face by that big ball. Red ball, that BRB, I mean, I'm gonna BRB because I'm sobbing in the bathroom.
You cried. This is the problem with this generation. They're so soft. Like
you are coming from a place of being what, a middle-aged woman? This generation.
I'm coming mentally. I'm 78.
Yeah.
There's no crying in dodgeball.
I'm talking about embarrassed. The thing is, it's so easy to put on a brave face. But when you do feel pain and you feel that sting of the ball, you obviously are going to well up a little bit. And nothing is worse than the smile to the smile to cry. You know exactly what I mean. You're like,
because it's also
mortifying.
Getting hit in the face, like, it's the nose sting
mm-hmm.
that's almost scary.
Yes.
You're like, what's about to happen to me? And you're like,
yeah. And people, it really is just like, oh, there he goes. Yeah,
there goes Andrew crying again.
Yeah. But listen, one thing I never did really, cry at work. I wasn't a work crier. And I know some people did.
Me cry at work?
Yeah.
When?
I feel like you cried because of jobs.
I went to therapy and almost actually lost my grip on reality because of my last full-time job. But yeah. Aside from that, I would say, again, being a CIT, working at a summer camp, I had a really bad day one day because I had to make the bug juice.
Can you walk us through what bug juice is?
If anyone here doesn't know what bug juice is, it's fruit punch. Do you remember the show Bug Juice?
I do remember the show.
Bug juice doesn't come in a jar. Bug juice comes from who you are.
And it's no surprise that your head is so fucking big. Because, like, what?
Bug juice was, like, it was, like, a Disney Channel original reality series.
Yeah.
Where kids were sent to summer camp at Camp Waziada. Wazi, Wazi, Waziada.
These are the true life adventures of kids at summer camp.
It is impossible to find online, but our friend Tony did track it down for me. And
no, Tony's not my friend.
In COVID, I watched all of it again. They rebooted it, and it's on Disney Plus. And it's honestly not that bad. Like, the new version wasn't that bad, but the original, like, this was back when, like, Disney, and I feel like kids shows in general weren't afraid to, like, talk about, like, things that teenagers and, like, kids were actually, they were, like, crying and, like, getting called fat and, like, being bullied and, like, hooking up and, like, sneaking in drugs. Like, I'm probably wrong about the drugs. I think it was candy.
I was going to say, they're a Disney show?
Yeah, like, it was a little bit more edgy, the first one. The new one was a lot more, like, we're here for the kids. But if you want to experience the unbridled joy of a sleepaway summer camp you never went to, you have to watch Bug Juice. Like, literally.
Okay, I actually might start it.
I would love to watch Bug Juice tonight.
great.
Yeah, you really did a great job being a CIT, and then it really
I spilled the bug juice. I'm sorry, the story is I didn't.
It's still happening.
The half the episode, but I spilled the bug juice. But it was a one of those big Gatorade things, and I was just a little giant, gigantic 12-year-old. And I was carrying it, and I spilled some on the floor, and I like had to get all this bug juice to my campers because it was a hot day out, and we need to make sure those campers are hydrated, get plenty of fluids. Because
you
campers.
Know what's gonna hydrate somebody?
Bug juice.
Bug juice. Fruit punch. Of course. Is that bug juice?
Mm.
You put a you
it's
put
water
a flavor.
Talk. I put a sun-kissed orange in this.
This is the thing about this generation is that they want to be putting fucking flavor sticks in all of their water.
It's so
I just
you guys,
can't imagine that's okay.
It was originally making me like shit in a scary way, but I've gotten past that.
Which is crazy because you were telling me that it was like you were like shaking shit.
It was like, yeah, it was a PMP.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were going to poop my pants. Nothing's worse when they put you in check and you're like, oh, I do have a boss and I'm working for somebody and now I feel like shit.
Yeah, no, I think I went home.
Yeah.
I think I was like, I'm not doing this job. And then yeah. I went back the next day.
I honestly like don't really know if my first job that I worked collectively with you even instilled like the idea of a boss.
We didn't have a boss, right? Did we have a boss?
We kind of had some guys.
We had some men who were just there. But they I don't know there. If we did we respond to anyone?
No.
Like there was not one person in charge of us?
No, I would walk in. We worked at the ice rink.
We worked at the ice rink summer going into senior year.
Like and again, like we were doing maintenance there, but I would walk in every single day with my pre-packed lunch, put it in that little fridge that they had. There was about four men over the age of 50, ranging from 50 to 75, and it would just be a hey, how's it going? What do I do? And they're like, just mow.
You were mowing?
Joe, I was mowing. And this is so mortifying and so embarrassing, and it's really just a read on my character itself. But
Jerry.
I mean, I told the Jerry. You guys know about Jerry, what I did to Jerry. And if you don't listen to the from the beginning, you'll find the episode. But
what you did to Jerry sounds horrible.
What I did to Jerry. But no, I had the lawnmower. I was ready to start mowing. I said to myself, how the fuck do you get this started? I didn't know how to start. I was pulling. Listen, I was pulling. And it wasn't starting. So then I had to go back in there and I said,
and are you wearing like, I know what you're wearing. I almost think you're wearing, are you wearing two layers of shorts?
I'm wearing, what do
like
you mean?
Like a baggy beige cargo short. For sure. And then like, is it just underwear almost to the kneecap?
Yeah, I'm always wearing a kneecap undie because and then again, like a, you know the chafe.
The chafe.
The chafe and the chase. But I don't.
A Livestrong bracelet of sorts.
Yes, the thick bands. It probably does say dealers.
And it was a little tight.
Yeah, the thing is, like, it was always on my left wrist, and I just blamed it on the fact that I broke this wrist once. But I'll tell you one thing. It's just the fact that I have a girthy muscle.
Uh-huh. Yeah. A girthy bone, even.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, not a muscle. A girthy bone. But that's why, like, if anyone makes fun of me for my hands...
It's the wrist. It's the broken.
It's because I broke it.
And the trauma.
The trauma. But yeah, I tried to mow, and then I had to go in there. They told me how to get it started. They actually had to come out and get it started for me. And then I went forward and backwards. I didn't turn it around. And I'll never forget. I was like, this is so fucked up because I feel like maybe you were supposed to work that day. You like didn't work there.
I didn't really work there. I came in towards the tail end of the summer.
Because you had a job already.
The most genuinely stressful, painful, like tear-inducing, horrifying, horrific experience of my entire 26 years of life has been buying my dad a Father's Day gift.
Yes.
Like, some dads, I guess, have hobbies. That's something that, like, I've learned on TV is some dads golf, some dads like to fish, some dads, like, do something else. Like, they barbecue. And that's their personality trait. My dad does not do any of those things. So when it comes to a gift for him, I am suffering at the hands of, like, a gift guide.
Yeah.
And we're here to be your gift guide. Just get your dad this.
Get your dad Manscaped. Again, any of the Manscaped products, you can get in the Lawnmower 4.0. You can get him the beard kit.
Yeah, you don't have to get him something for his pubes if that's weird for you.
If it's weird for you, like, then it's weird. But, like, if you have that relationship with your father and you're like,
you guys are talking pubes, that's amazing. If not, they have – their beard trimmer is also fantastic. And not
one of the – I think the best in the
game. I mean, I don't have my fucking Amish beard anymore. Thanks, Manscaped.
And I'll tell you one thing. I've gotten so many compliments on my scent by just rubbing my body with that body wash.
Every time I use that body wash, people are like, what's that incredible smell? And I'm like, it's Manscaped.
Yeah.
Get 20% off and free shipping with code GOODCHILDREN at manscaped.com. That's 20% off with free shipping at manscaped.com. It's for a father. It's for a daddy. It's for anyone in your life that
might be a little hairy.
Exactly. Make it a Father's Day that he won't forget and you won't forget at manscaped.com.
Code good children.
It was really nice having a friend to work with. Like, and if you're somebody who had a friend that you worked with, you didn't work.
We did not do a single thing.
I shouldn't have had my license either. It should have been taken away because the thing is, we would go to Jamba Juice, Tropical Smoothie Cafe. I was getting soft whipped meringues. I was getting meringue cookies to just have.
We were just lounging. We'll never forget it. We walked into that day and we said, what did we do today? And he said, it's fucking Friday. Do whatever you want. We went right to Stop and Shop. Summer going into freshman year.
Was camp.
No, for you.
For me. I thought I ran that place.
And then I showed up.
And then Joe showed up and I was like, you're stealing my thunder.
And I tried my best too.
You tried, but I still wanted that damn cow. Counselor of the week.
You were definitely counselor of the summer.
Yeah, because the thing is about me, I knew how to discipline, but I also knew how to have fun at the end of the
day.
And
your kids were like, you were running a fight club.
What do you mean?
They were smacking the shit out of each other.
They were actually like to a point where it was inappropriate that I would whip my phone out and like, you know what? I can say it at this point because I don't work there. But it would get to points where these girls would be fighting and I'm like, girls, literally stop. And then they smack the shit out of each other. And I'm like, come on. It's so good. It's literally so good.
You ruthless. Like working at a summer camp is an interesting experience as like a college student because like, what did we do? What qualifications did we have, first of all?
To work with children?
Yeah, nothing.
Nothing.
Was there even a pre-screening? They just let us do it?
No, there was a pre-screening. I had to go. We sat in that office.
Yeah,
there was sexual harassment training. And then there was an interview process.
It was a rigorous interview process.
It was really rigorous. People were getting turned away. Yeah. Kind of felt like Harvard.
It did.
I could only assume.
I mean, I feel like you know.
Listen, I do
did
know.
You ever,
a thing or two
did
about
you interview
Ivy.
For Harvard?
I didn't interview for Harvard. I did interview for Brown.
How was that?
Oh, it was horrible.
Why?
It was because I had to go into the city, and it was with a bunch of other people that were interviewing for Brown, and they sat us in a room, and they gave us a lecture, and they brought us in one by one into cubicles to meet with different Brown alumni and have a conversation
and
with them.
And you were having a panic attack?
I was obviously having a panic attack. I looked literally stunning. I was in a gorgeous Vineyard Vine set, and then I talked to them.
Did you think that's going to do it for them?
Yeah.
Did it?
And at the time, I wanted to be a news broadcaster.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that was my thing.
Were you going to become a news broadcaster? What the hell? It's like, it is like I am meeting you for the first time today. Like, the amount of things I've learned on camera with you, despite knowing you my entire life, you wanted to be a news broadcaster?
I wanted to be like, and welcome back to...
Was it going to be Fox News?
No, it wasn't going to be Fox News, Joe. It was just going to be news.
What channel? What station?
I was probably saying CNN at the time because I was being unbiased. And I was like, one of my favorite journalists is like, you wouldn't know them.
Rory Gilmore.
Exactly. But the interview went really, really well. I got waitlisted.
Wow.
Which was very, very good for me.
Why?
Because I got waitlisted.
But you didn't get in.
No, I didn't get in. But like, I did get waitlisted.
So ultimately, you were denied?
Yeah, ultimately, I was denied.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there was a very small acceptance rate.
No, yeah. I just like, so like, you were waitlisted and then you were denied. Is like what I would say, how I would describe that.
Agreed. I would say I was waitlisted.
Okay.
Because I decided otherwise. I could have decided to join the waitlist, but I said, it's not worth it.
I would like I'm gonna call up the Browns Board of Admissions and I'm gonna pull out the files because I feel like something about that story just shifted as you were telling it. Any other summer camp, fun summer camp stories for you?
Fun summer camp stories? No, besides being like actually fat shamed by every child right. at the camp itself.
I never experienced that, and I feel like we were the same size. Like, why is it like that? It was just
well,
like,
no, this is the thing about us. This is the difference between us and our bodies. And if I'm being completely honest, Joe, you know exactly what I'm going to say. And I've said it before on the podcast, and you don't have a tit. You don't. You never had. And that's the thing about me. It's like kids like to, they don't want to say anything about your stomach, but they're going to say something about your boobs because they're going to say, you shouldn't have boobs. And that's what happened. And that was really, it was just, I couldn't even believe it was coming out of the five-year-old's mouth. And I literally looked him straight in the face and said, you will one day too. I said that to him. You will one day too.
You will one day too.
That's why I wanted to be a journalist.
Yeah, yeah. That's stunning. Because she's a poet.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. But that's why it happened to me, and that's why it didn't happen to you. And sometimes things happen to me. Okay?
Yeah, I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Really triggered something. I feel like a contribution that the LGBTQIA plus community often fails to be acknowledged for is our vocational devotion to working in social media.
Yes.
Where it's almost like every brand with the check mark, I'm like,
you're like, oh,
I'm like, okay.
Because every comment's like, yes, Queenie.
Slay mama. And it's slay like, mama. Thanks, Chili's. Like, when did we decide that like HP Computers is a faggot? Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean. Every single restaurant, every single tech company, every single car, Hertz.
Hurts, gay. The Duolingo owl, gay. Yeah, no, but I mean, when I graduated college with a degree in four things that didn't make any sense, I knew the only thing I could reasonably get into was working in social media. Yes. And I feel like it is, like, anyone who works in social media, yeah, it's, sure. I'm saying it's from a place of experience. It's a really easy job. Yeah. It might be hard work to, like, look at the stats and things, but it's physically and like sometimes mentally a really simple job if you're really online.
Yes.
There are side effects to being on your phone too much. There's emotional. Look at me. But otherwise, like, doing social media, especially for a smaller company, is like literally one of my favorite things to do. Yeah. Like, when someone puts their faith in you, it's annoying when you're working with a big company and there's fucking red tape. Like, yeah. I don't give a fuck. When I worked at my first company, when I worked at the newspaper, I literally, I'd be like, can we please post this meme that's like the Long Island Mom starter pack? And I'd meet with a copy editor for 2 hours being like, no, the fact that I put a red wine glass in this is not insensitive towards mothers. Like, it was like 24/7 arguing at the point where like the joy was sucked out of it. Yeah, like,
but it really
sucking.
Is nice to be like, if you're working for a small company, you're like, I'm gonna grow you so big.
Oh my god,
it's gonna be so big, the growth.
Ew, Andrew,
why
is that like so disgusting to hear?
I don't know, like, why things that come out of my mouth are disgusting, but like, you did socials for Newsday, you did socials for BuzzFeed.
Well, I did video editing for BuzzFeed, okay. And then I did socials for a few other places, and now I'm freelance, and now I'm actually just, this is my only job.
This is it.
Yeah.
And I went from the New York Stock Exchange.
What? Like, right to, literally, how?
Again, everyone wants to pretend like I wasn't a finance major.
No, you want to pretend like you were in a finance major. No one is putting that on you. You're a podcaster now and a fitness coach.
I'm
like,
a podcaster,
it's on you.
Fitness coach who used to be a finance major in the Honors Business School at Loyola University. I was investing $500,000 of the school's endowment into stock. And now if you were to ask
me, school
like,
still open?
Stock, I'm going to say chicken. Is the school still open? The school's still open.
Okay, that's great.
Yeah, for sure. But yeah, I mean, like, the New York Stock Exchange really served me well. Like, I was standing there, I was talking like calls and puts.
What does that mean?
At the time, I couldn't tell you, and right now I simply couldn't. Okay. But I was doing a lot of circling and I was doing a lot of inputting on Excel, and these men were on the phones with the stockbrokers basically then screaming to me how to like what to write down, and then like I was basically like the assistant almost,
right?
And then it was like, Andrew, we're hungry, and I'm like, I got you, and now this is my only job.
What is that? Was so I was thinking about this.
Yeah, what
were you thinking about? This is your only job. What do you do all day? I was thinking this because I'm editing. I'm posting.
Well, Joe, only job for the past 2 months.
What do you do? You just sit at home all? What is your day? Like, what is your schedule looking like?
My schedule is looking pretty stacked, if you ask me.
What do? You just, like, walk around?
I walk around.
Like, watch TV?
No, I don't even watch TV. I haven't watched TV in years. I walk around. No, I do a little workout. Right now, I'm back and forth to the city. I am interviewing.
Oh, right.
I'm interviewing sometimes.
Okay.
I'm going back next week because I'm interviewing. I've only been out of work for 2 months.
Okay, that's normal.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So everyone's out there telling me that I should get a job.
I didn't say that. I just was curious about what you were doing all day with your time.
I'm with you.
No, that's why I have to tell you to get away, because I'm like, I have to work.
Oh, no.
Your children to the guidance office.
Oh, I'm excited for the guidance office.
The first
this
one's
week.
Kind of bullying, if I say so myself.
Bullying to whom?
I wouldn't play it if it was bullying to me.
It's funny how it works.
I think that this is kind of a learning lesson. Like, no shade to whoever this is. Like,
hey girls, I'm just wondering, how tall are you? Because it's giving Green Giant and it's giving Tinkerbell, and I want to know what the science is. Toodles.
Do you know what I mean?
I don't even know what to say. Honestly.
Tinkerbell?
You know what? While
just say a slur.
Like, while one can take that as offensive, I think I'm going to own that and say that Tinkerbell brings a lot of joy and is very small and is very quick and is stunning to some. And when you're at the Disney parks, people want to see Tinkerbell.
You're right.
So I'm going to take that as, yes, I am 5'8", which is a
completely
very
normal height. Yeah.
And I think that I fill it out pretty well. I would think that, like, surrounding me, like, you would see me and you'd be like, he is 5'8". He's not short, and he's not tall. But I'm very average, and I'm bringing average. But you know what? Tinkerbell is stunning, and so am I. And Joe, Green Giant, you're tall.
I'm not the tallest person in the room. I often am the tallest person in the room, actually.
You're 6'3".
Yeah, but like, I'll look around a lot of rooms, and like, I'm usually like, oh, I'm the tallest.
Because you're in like a boot.
I happen to be dating someone who's 5'6". My best friend is 5'8". Most of my close friends are under 5'7". Yeah. Like, I do think I surround myself with Tinkerbells.
I actually...
Isn't that the most fucked up thing you've ever heard?
I think it's pretty fucked up, but I do believe that I'm going to own it. I'm going to put it in my Instagram bio.
Tinkerbell. A friend of Tinkerbell's. You're in the parks.
Tinkerbell's friend. A friend of Tinkerbell. That's so good.
Hi, Joe and Andrew. It's Victoria. Huge fan. Question
Hi, Victoria.
For you.
Hi.
I'm curious to know, so clearly you have a lot of important and special moments caught on camera. What's one moment or time that you don't have on film that you wish you did? Love the pun. Bye.
Such a good question.
That's a great question.
I think my immediate answer is not necessarily the coming out, but the conversation that followed would be so iconic to have on camera.
Yeah, because I really want to know what was said. I know that you remember what was said, but I think in the moment
barely.
I was like, black.
Oh yeah.
I was like, what just happened here? Yeah, that would be a really beautiful moment.
That, and then that hot tub moment. The pivotal moment in our lives in that hot tub.
When we were like, we should have a talk show with a hot tub during different baking competitions.
Yes.
Which I still think,
Which is it's on the menu.
I kind of think that, like, we could pivot from this.
If we'd set if the whole podcast just took place in a hot tub and we had a baking competition happening around us, and at the end of the podcast we got to like judge food, like I think everyone would enjoy that.
I think
it wouldn't actually impact the podcast.
No, I think we would still be talking about the same exact things.
But like, the video component would be more interesting.
And the snack of the week, which we definitely have slacked on.
Yeah.
And like kind of have gotten away from. Now we're just like eat when we're hungry. Would always be a snack of the week, and it would be a different baked good.
Yeah. It's not the worst idea.
I'm hungry. This is actually hilarious because we were handed these by Joe's mother in a little Ziploc bag, and they are the Drake's coffee cakes.
So that's our snack of the week.
So that's our snack of the week this week because I actually am just hungry and I want a little something. That was so impressive that I couldn't. Yeah. No, you spit on that floor. You should be chewing big league.
What's a coffee cake?
Thank you for asking me this. A coffee cake is basically just like a little, like, it's like a vanilla-based cake with just the crumble. You know
what classic is the crumble made of?
It's like cinnamon, it's flour, it's butter, it's vanilla.
It's sugar, butter,
flour. I'd like to sit Drake down in a room.
What would you do to Drake?
I would coffee his cake. I'm sorry.
Oh. This was a fun one.
This was kind of fun. It was nice to be able to talk about our jobs. And now that we're here and owning this one, we're owning this job.
We're owning this job, you guys. This is our job. And we're so grateful for all of the endless support and validation you constantly provide for us, even when you call one of us Tinkerbell.
And that this little Tinkerbell is flying high. And you know exactly what to do now. And that's like, that's to comment and that's to subscribe. And if you please could just rate and review, especially my Tinkerbell queen. Like, you got it. I went through that. So please comment, leave a nice review. And you know where to find us on Patreon as well.
Oh my God, yes. For our after show specials.
For our after show specials. We have so many things. We're going to be posting our Boston show.
Our Boston live show is available on Patreon this week, which is so exciting.
And we have our show coming up on June 4th.
June 4th in New York City.
New York City, the Gramercy Theater. We'll see you in New York City on June 4th.
We'll see you in New York City on June 4th. You don't want to miss it. Tickets are available. The link below, link in bio, anywhere you can buy a fucking ticket, buy our tickets, please. We cannot wait to see you again.
We can't.
And we'll see you again next week for a brand new episode. You can find us across socials at Good Children Pod until then, where you can see extra special clips and some behind the scenes moments and some extra throwback photos and videos from us as children.
And spread the good word. Share our videos with your friends that might be on the edge of listening, or bring them to a show and
bring
then
them
we'll
to a
boom
show. Force it on them.
Force it on them. We're people pleasers. They'll be fine.
Da 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 da
da da da da da
da da da da da da. Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I'm gonna be a part of it. New York, New York. You can finish your coffee cake now.